Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome to the show, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Happy Sunday to each and every one of you, and happy St. Paddy's Day to each and every one of you. Yeah, I'm glad it's kind of St. Patrick's Day because, you know, on my end, I know that I have the Irish descent. My family is, I'm pretty much... about like 50%, 60% Irish. My mom, when my grandma came across from Ireland, that's where my grandmother was from. On my mom's side, she came from Dublin, Ireland, and the last name was Feeney, and of course it was O'Feeney. And when they got to America, they dropped the O, and it was just strictly just Feeney. But You know, I still talk to my family who live in Dublin. And, but yeah, you know, we don't all have to be Irish. We just have to celebrate it, right? We always celebrate Irish, you know, traits to remember what Ireland's all about. The good Irish eyes are smiling. Yes, hopefully you're drinking your drink of green beer. Oh, my God. There is so much green beer out there today. I think they're probably promoting so much green shit. It's unbelievable. I mean, like, in our local area, we have a place called Skyline Chili. And they were promoting green Skyline Chili. So that means they were going to take the noodles, because you have spaghetti. That's what it is, it's spaghetti with chili on top of it with cheese. And they were going to take the spaghetti and of course, dye it green. And, you know, some of the stuff that they were doing was just not appealing. I know Burger King had green fries. So if you never had a chance to try green fries, take a look at it. My purpose is that if I was going to eat a lot of green stuff or consume a lot of green stuff, you know, I'd wake up the next morning, go take a shit, and then all of a sudden, you know, the green would come out black in my shit, and then I would think I was bleeding out of my asshole. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm internally bleeding. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, that, you know, if I drank a lot of green beer, ate a lot of green food, I'm sure that I would be panicking a little bit, you know. But with that said, you know, we have a lot to talk about today on the show. We have a short show today, matter of fact. You know, it's not going to be a very long show. But we do have, you know, kind of a show here for you. And we have Paula, who's going to be coming in today. As everybody knows, Paula was on medical leave for a little bit, but she's back. And we are so excited to have her back on the show. We're going to get into a couple of things that are happening with the topics here. First and foremost, Donald Trump, right? Because Donald Trump has legal issues. He has a lot of legal issues going on. As we know, we've been following all the legal bullshit that he's been doing. And, of course, he's been trying to fight the whole situation with, you know, with the whole thing down there with, you know, down in Georgia, where he was trying to make sure that Mr. Wade and Mrs. Willis would not be able to hear his case or to participate in the case down there. But of course, what did they find out? Well, they found that she can hear it. She can continue. But Mr. Wade has to be taken off the case, apparently. So, but it's not a big deal. At least she's going to still hear it. I'm glad because, you know, she has a lot of feisty, fiery bullshit underneath her that she'll definitely take out Donald Trump. And I hope she goes after him for blood because he deserves every bit that he gets. I mean, the guy is a piece of work, isn't he? And Donald Trump, like a piece of work. Every time you think of hearing that name, Donald Trump, or seeing his face, or you just want to puke. It's that disgusting. And not only did that said, but Donald Trump decided to come close to Ohio in the last couple of days. Yes, he came to my state, Ohio. Came to Dayton, Ohio, as a matter of fact. And when Donald Trump came in, he started talking about the auto industry and trying to get vehicles and auto industry back on track, is what he was saying and claiming. And, of course, while he was talking, one of the weirdest things that Donald Trump talked about was bloodshed. And he said the word bloodshed. And people out there heard him say bloodshed. And to us, you know, that's kind of concerning when you hear Donald Trump talk about bloodshed. Because Donald Trump wants more than ever for bloodshed to happen in the United States. I'm telling you, Donald Trump is hoping that in this election of 2024, that bloodshed will happen. What he claims is that if he doesn't win the election in 2024, this year, if he does not win the election, that bloodshed will happen. He's making the threats already. And he made it in Ohio. Here's what happened. Take a little listen to this.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it.
Whose primaries are coming up on Tuesday, where he really was talking about the auto industry, but then went into a comment calling, saying that there would be a bloodbath in the country if he wasn't reelected in November. Now, you know, he was talking about the auto industry, and his campaign later clarified his comments. This is after President Biden's campaign really seized on those comments and said that this is exactly why President Biden is the candidate that should win the November election, and highlighted former President Trump's comments saying that he was calling for violence, you know, if he didn't win the election. Now, President Trump's campaign later clarified and said that his comments were an extension of what he was saying about the auto industry and talking about how the tariff rates would be escalated if he wasn't reelected. So there was a back and forth between his campaign and President Biden's campaign last night.
All right. And let's, I know we have something to.
So really what we have to realize here is that Donald Trump has been promoting this whole thing about bloodshed and, you know, his insurrection of January 6th. I mean, all this stuff is happening. And it's all because Donald Trump has a plan. It's a real true plan of what Donald Trump and the Republicans have. That plan is to cause what's known as martial law, or what they call Project 2025. And if you've never heard of Project 2025 or Agenda 47, you need to get prepared for it, folks, because I'm telling you that these two topics are as real gets. As a matter of fact, the Republicans and Donald Trump are not hiding any of this. They're putting it out on the websites. They're promoting it. And the thing is Donald Trump wants to be the dictator of the United States of America and make America a fascist country. And to do this, they need the Republicans to help support that. And, of course, that's what the Republicans are going to do. So the thing is called Project 2025. Look it up. It's all over the Internet. You can look it up and read it yourselves. It's not hidden by no means. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's realistic. So it's Project 2025 and Agenda 47. And what this will allow is Donald Trump to take over if he wins in 2024. On day one of 2025, he will be able to take over the country. He can declare martial law, which means that at that point in time that he would remain the dictator or the leader of the country. He will have military in the streets. The Agenda 47 talks about starting what they call stop and frisks, where police officers and federal officers can start to frisk you and stop you at any time. They can go through your house. They can knock down the doors without warrants to basically check on, you know, just to do whatever they want to do. So if they don't like the idea, they think that you are a threat to Donald Trump or to his agenda, then they can knock down your doors and they can arrest you. They can detain you. And that's what they're going to do. That's what the whole purpose of this whole plan is to detain the American people who don't want to follow along with Donald Trump. And so this is what we're seeing as far as the same shit that happened under neo-Nazi Germany. So, you know, Donald Trump is putting together a Gestapo, and he is putting together this this new plan of action. And, of course, the Republicans have all put it together. The ones who put it together, by the way, the Agenda 2025, is the Heritage Foundation. If you've never heard of them, take a look at it. So the Heritage Foundation is the ones who are behind. They are the parent organization of 2025. The budget for this project was $22 million. And this will allow them to overturn the federal government. It will allow the presidential transition to have full control of the executive branch of power in the United States federal government. And this would also allow them to work on taking out characters of what they so-called a deep state. And basically what this means is to go after Democrats and anybody who is a Democrat. So this is all the stuff that his plan of action is. So this gives him more power as the executive branch of power. Also, under the executive 2020 or under the project 2020, they can eliminate all the federal government programs like the DEA, the federal government programs. Not only DEA, but you have any of these small programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all these programs will cease to exist because they will eliminate these programs because these are the smaller programs of the federal government. And this is the way for them to eliminate all of it. So when you look at Project 2025 and then you take Agenda 47, which Agenda 47 is the part of the martial law part. It's more of him implementing the martial law part of it. There's a lot to this whole thing, and there's like over 900 pages of this bullshit, and you need to familiarize yourself with it, folks, because this stuff is real. It's as real as it gets, guys. It's as real as it gets. And you need to just familiarize yourself with it, because the problem is, if you don't pay attention to this stuff, it's going to blow your mind on what's going to happen here. And this Project 2025 is real can get. And not only that, it's really scary, folks, but this is what we were seeing happen, was a Republican control of the United States of America and making it a fascist country with Donald Trump being the dictator of the United States of America. He tried to do it, folks. He already tried to do it on January 6th. So you don't think he's not going to do it again? Come on. And then you have Donald Trump in Dayton, Ohio over the weekend saying that if he doesn't win, you're going to see bloodshed. This is the bullshit that Donald Trump spews out, is he's trying to tell you, I'm a dictator, motherfuckers. And if you don't like what I say, then I'm going to marshal my people to kill you. And that's what he wants to do. He is, without a doubt, the most disgusting individual on earth. He is evil. And the one thing that really pisses me off about this Agenda 47 and Project 2025 is that they're going to use religion, their religion. It's not Christianity, by the way. It is their religious-based beliefs against the American people. So you have to belong to their religion. And it is in that whole Project 2025, if you read it. So underneath 2025, what will happen is that anybody uses the terms or wording of transgender, gay, lesbian, any of that stuff is not allowed under this new law or new corporation of government under Donald Trump and the Republicans. Not only that, you have that, you have to abide by their religious ways and what they promote. And if you do not follow through, well, then they can use Agenda 47, the military, to take control of that bullshit. Do you see where I'm going with this? Do you see how dangerous and scary this shit is? And why would anybody want to vote for Donald Trump or the Republicans? Do you understand what they're trying to do to America? They are trying to sell out our country to Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, and they're trying to interact with these two countries to make the biggest dictating country in the world. That's their plan of action, guys. And too many dumb mega Republicans are so stupid to believe that all this is about border security. That's all they think of. That's how dumb they are. This is what a little piece of evidence I found about where they were talking about Agenda 2025 or Project 2025 and Agenda 47. I'm going to play a little bit of this audio. It's not. It's like maybe about 8 minutes long, 9 minutes long, and then we're going to get Paula in here to get the show started. But listen to this. It's going to blow your fucking mind, and you need to get familiar with it. All right, here we go.
Michael. In the red corner, we've got Florida Man, the Penguin, this guy, literally the only black Republican in the Senate, and of course, the God Emperor himself, the man who's so confident that he won't even show up for debates, Donald Trump. And in the blue corner, we've got Oprah's... Spearheaded by the Heritage Foundation, Project 2025 is a massive 920-page conservative manifesto detailing how they intend to give the president vastly more power, destroy bureaucracy, root out woke propaganda, appoint vetted far-right freedom fighters at every level of government, and have it all ready to implement the day the next conservative president is elected, which they assume will be 2025, hence the name. Despite Trump obviously being the favorite, the plan is not dependent on any particular candidate winning, but can be implemented with any figurehead at the reins, who will become essentially completely unaccountable. God Emperor was supposed to be a joke, but here we are. You may have seen this book floating around online, The Mandate for Leadership. This is what most people assume Project 2025 to be, but this is actually just one part of a much larger conservative master plan. Project 2025 has four core pillars. First, the policy, as outlined in the 920-page document. This is where all the heinous and frankly disturbing policy proposals live. And don't worry, we'll look at some of those in a bit. Two, the personnel database, which has been described as the conservative LinkedIn, as if LinkedIn wasn't cringe enough already. This will be a repository for conservative resumes from people across all sectors and from all walks of life, to be selected as needed to staff positions in every level of government, at both the federal and state level. 3. Training. They've got a new online institute, basically PragerU, but for people who like to wear poorly tailored suits and fantasize about rolling back environmental regulations. This training program will create willing and able soldiers to serve on the front lines in the war on the woke cabal of the deep state. And finally, 4. The 180-day playbook, a step-by-step guide for the new conservative emperor to systematically implement the policies listed in the manifesto. Think IKEA assembly instructions, but for fascism. These four pillars are the key components of the project, and taken together, they offer a pretty comprehensive vision for the dystopian future the right hopes to usher in. It's all pretty alarming. But where exactly does this come from? Let's take a look at some of the names behind the project. If you flip through the first pages of the PDF, because, let's be honest, we're not about to give the Heritage Foundation $35, you'll find a list of far-right think tanks, advisory groups, and business and government figures who contributed to the project. Some of the names include Donald Devine, once called by the Washington Post Reagan's terrible swift sword of the civil service, for his eagerness to slash spending and fire people. Stephen Moore, the well-known conservative author and right-wing economist, with such credentials as working for the very legitimate FreedomWorks and serving as a Fox News contributor. And Peter Navarro, who is notable for being one of just three people who worked with Trump for the duration of his term without being fired. He's also a little bit obsessed with China, having written three truly awful books on the subject: The Coming China Wars, Death by China, and Crouching Tiger. The manifesto credits 35 total authors, as well as dozens of contributors, all with their credentials listed. It's about what you'd expect. A lot of people from the Heritage Foundation, some military goons, a smattering of former Trump officials, extremist economists, and a considerable number of people who have worked in climate, energy, immigration, and legal positions under conservative governments. What you won't see a lot of in the acknowledgments is religious credentials, which you'd think would be important given how much the document leans on Christian language. This should be your first indication that maybe the people who loudly proclaim their faith aren't really all that Christian, and they're just using it to win brownie points among their religious conservative audience. There's actually a lot of overlap here with the topic of our last video on Christian nationalism. These people use religious rhetoric, but a little bit of digging reveals that the God they pray to is not the God of the Bible, but a mythologized vision of America itself. Much like fascists throughout history have relied on a glorious false past to act as a North Star to guide them into the promised land, so too have American fascists wrapped themselves in comforting mythology, proving that what they are doing is not only just, but divinely inspired. When you have a higher power on your side, it's pretty easy to justify horrific acts. Okay, with the brains behind the project out of the way, let's get into the nitty-gritty. What exactly do these people want? What's their end goal? Well, there are four main priorities. In their words, they want to, 1, restore the family as the centerpiece of American life and protect our children. 2, dismantle the administrative state and return self-governance to the American people. 3, defend our nation's sovereignty, borders, and bounty against global threats. And 4, secure our God-given individual rights to live freely, what our Constitution calls the blessings of liberty. Okay, you can probably already see where some of this is going, but let's start with the boring stuff. The nuts and bolts of manipulating the federal government to serve the right. A lot of this project centers around gutting what's called the administrative state. This is stuff like the EPA, FEMA, HUD, the Fed, stuff like that. The humdrum logistical stuff that nonetheless often plays an important role. Or sometimes not. Looking at you, DHS. There's a lot of this stuff. So much so that it's often called the fourth branch of government, and it deals with the day-to-day operations of the country, everything from transportation to environmental regulations, food and water safety, and so on. Most of these agencies are created when a law is passed that makes people think, there really should be a group of people responsible for making sure food is safe for consumption, or whatever. The government slaps together an elite team of nerds, that is to say, subject matter experts, people who actually know what they're talking about, and there you go, you've got the FDA. The FDA then takes over the task of enforcing whatever regulations they come up with in administrative courts. But this is all really boring. All you need to know is that a lot fewer people die because the FDA exists, and we have fewer polluted rivers and extinct species because the EPA exists. Conservatives don't really like rules in general, especially rules that protect the environment or poor people, so these agencies need to go. It's not good enough that the president can appoint the heads of these admin agencies, for example, Trump appointing a fossil fuel executive to head the EPA. No, conservatives want complete power over everyone in these agencies. Because right now, the subject matter experts at, say, the EPA are not beholden to politics. They just come to work and try to figure out how to protect snails. Or something. Much of the argument here centers around whether these agencies are constitutional. Conservatives like to claim that since the Constitution didn't explicitly say federal agencies like these were part of their master plan, they're government overreach and should be dismantled. Historically, federal courts have disagreed with this assessment, so until now, we can rest assured that our milk has been pasteurized and our water isn't contaminated with lead. But here's the thing with the whole constitutionality argument. Who cares? Most countries around the world scrap their constitutions entirely when the people decide they're no longer relevant or they need to be overhauled. Only the United States has this weird reverence for the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. Part of that is due to the relatively short history of the country. The U.S. has only really existed for a couple hundred years. When you look around the world and see some of your peer nations have a couple thousand years of history, you might feel the need to mythologize your past just a little bit to make your nation seem special. The Founding Fathers have been elevated to godlike status, especially among conservatives. But the truth is, they were a bunch of frat boys. Okay, not all of them. Ben Franklin was 70 and Washington was 44. But a lot of them, dear viewer, are younger than you are right now. Alexander Hamilton, the one with the annoying fan club, he was 21, and he wasn't even the youngest. Anyway, the point is, when you look at historical events without the rose tint of mythology, you see a bunch of normal people just kind of making it up as they go along. It's normal that things change over the centuries. What's considered constitutional should reflect the values and norms of the time. That little tangent aside, let's get back to the goals of Project 2025. We talked about the boring stuff, wanting to gut the administrative state, but what else is in there? It's 920 pages, after all. They've got to have some other ideas. Well, a lot of it is what you might expect. As Trump stated on numerous occasions, they want to kick the cultural Marxists out of the Department of Education, demolish the deep state, and combat woke ideology at all levels of government. They plan to do this by making extensive use of Schedule F, a piece of legislation established at the federal level by Trump, which allows the president to fire federal government officials at will, presumably for not sufficiently bending the knee. The project calls for an executive branch with essentially unchecked power, making the president basically unaccountable to Congress. They want to dismantle the liberal system to build one more favorable to conservatives. That means scrapping environmental protections, moving away from globalism, punishing corporations for DEI language, which is funny because it sounds like they actually think these corporations genuinely believe their DEI statements. They want to escalate tensions with China by ending economic engagement entirely, crack down on immigration, criminalize LGBT expression. They claim that any talk of gender, gender identity, and so on is pornography and should be banned, and has no First Amendment protections. They want to scrap labor discrimination policies, quote, maintain a biblically based, social science reinforced definition of family, meaning scrap protections for same-sex marriage, and plan to, quote, secure our God-given individual rights to live freely, unless, of course, you're one of the aforementioned groups they intend to criminalize out of existence. In that vein, to touch very briefly on their views on pornography, if you read the text, they basically just mean any discussion of gender, abortion, or any identity other than straight and cisgender. They want all instances of this kind of language stripped from society. While it's a little cliche to compare the conservatives to Nazis, you know what books were the first to be burned? Which institutions were the first to be shuttered? Books on gender and sexuality, and institutions that studied these topics. But, okay, we know elected conservatives are like one step removed from outright fascism at this point. But how are they justifying this? Yes, we all know they just forced this stuff through if they could. But, at least for now, they still have to play by the rules of Western liberalism. So the key to their plan is to lean on unitary executive theory, which dates back to the devil himself, Ronald Reagan. In a nutshell, this political theory suggests that maybe having three separate but equal branches of government isn't a good idea, and that instead the executive branch should dominate the relationship. Reagan's team came up with this notion to help facilitate deregulation, and it kind of just stuck. Every president since Reagan has made use of this theory to wield just a little bit more power than they probably should have. Bush Jr. justifying his invasion of Iraq, Obama justifying widespread U.S. deployment overseas, Trump's Muslim ban, and so on. Now, the Project 2025 ghouls want to make sure the president has essentially unchecked power, that Congress cannot prevent the president from doing what they want to do, however heinous their pet projects may be. There's a whole conversation about unitary executive theory in government circles. People are writing books about it and having very important conversations with very smart people. And you know what? That's what makes this so scary. The Republicans talk a big game about destroying cultural Marxism or waging war on woke, but that's just bluster. When they start coming up with justifications within the liberal framework, the Democrats will cave like they always do. Every single time we see them play ball with the far right, they cede a little more ground each time. Then you get a president like Biden, who just straight up accelerates the process by speeding up border wall construction, approving a record number of oil drilling permits, and then when he inevitably loses because everyone is upset with him, the Project 2025 people swoop in and the Democrats just go along with it because it's technically legal. Not to do it again, but most fascists throughout history have come into power through technically legal means. And then they change what's legal so you can't get them out again. Well, that's all pretty grim, huh? What's the solution here? Do we just vote harder? No. I mean, do that if you want, especially if you think you can make a difference at the local level. But things have gotten worse for us with every single president. And things have certainly gotten worse for people living in the third world as the U.S. gets more and more vicious abroad as our empire declines. The solution is the same as it's always been. Mass movements. Join an organization. Unionize your workplace. Learn to defend yourself and your community from fascist vigilante violence. Keep yourself safe online. Learn your rights. Educate yourself and those around you. Things like Project 2025 don't happen in a vacuum. There is an economic base to these developments. The U.S. is losing ground on the world stage and will soon be superseded by China as the dominant economic power. Domestically, the average worker is worse off now than in living memory. We can't afford the skyrocketing cost of housing, food, healthcare, utilities. Everything is going up, except wages. We have no mandated paid sick leave or parental leave. We have no benefits, no labor protections, no chance for advancement as more and more companies move to the gig model of employment. These are structural problems caused by the very nature of capitalism. Run the simulation 1,000 times and we'll end up right here every single time. The race for endlessly increasing profits results in monopoly, overaccumulation, a falling rate of profit, economic desperation among the masses, and a surge of reaction that carries fascism to the very top. You want a different result? Break the machine that powers these societal evils. If capitalism is allowed to survive, we will not. I mentioned at the beginning of the video that this episode was made possible by Henson Shaving. This is a new one for me, and I'm actually really glad they reached out, because I've been using safety razors for years. It's just a way better experience than those awful little cartridge razors or a big electric one you have to recharge all the time. Anyway, besides just making my preferred style of razor, Henson Shaving actually has a really cool story.
All right, there you go. We just got to the one point there. I wanted to make sure you guys got to hear some of this about Project 2025. And that's the important part about it, is to know what 2025 is. Now, let me just kind of clearly let you guys know that when you talk about Agenda 47, that's what we were talking about just a second ago. For those who don't know what Agenda 47 is, you need to look that up as well, because it's very important, of the principles of Donald Trump. See, Donald Trump talks about Agenda 47, and many of his plans describes what he can do for the tool. If Donald Trump succeeds at everything he does providing again and again, he knows that the problems are going to be solved. So on Agenda 47, his plan of action includes, not less but then to, declaring a war on the cartels. That is one of his first and foremost part of it. Agenda 47 is ending veteran homelessness in America. One of the things about Agenda 47 is that Donald Trump wants to take all homeless people and put them in one location. In other words, kick them out of the city streets and put them somewhere else. Because God forbid you have homeless people just walking around your cities. Also, in Agenda 47 under Donald Trump, no welfare for anybody or illegal aliens. Agenda 47 also, the American Academy, where he will plan endowments of a new organization. It's called the American Academy that he wants to put together. One other thing about Agenda 47 is martial law, the using military for the ways of keeping our government system from being abused or the American people attacking back. Because one thing for sure is, once the Project 2025 takes place, they need somebody to keep order in the streets. So under Agenda 47, this would allow Donald Trump to declare martial law. So these are just some of the things that you need to be prepared for when it comes to knowing what Donald Trump wants to do with the Republicans to our country, the dictators. And that's important. And that's what you need to understand. Where is this going for our country? And that, my friends, is what's fucking scary, is a dictator ran America. Not the true United States of America. This would end the Constitution of the United States of America as we know it. Because once he does this, martial law, the Constitution doesn't exist at that point. Everything ceases to exist because it becomes presidential power at that point. So please keep that in mind when you start thinking of why we shouldn't vote for Donald Trump and the Republicans. And they are not afraid to talk about it because they're flaunting this stuff all over the internet. They're not trying to hide it. They're trying to promote it. But they're trying to promote it as if it's okay for us to do this. And believe it or not, the MAGA supporters believe in it. They support it. And they think it's okay. But if you're a true patriot, if you're a true American, who believes in the true American values of our democracy, if you're a true patriot of America, then you know what they are peddling is bullshit. And Donald Trump has already tried to show a little bit of what can happen under January 6th situation. When Donald Trump did January 6th, this was a test of how far he could go to get what he wants done and how far his people would follow him into this whole Agenda 47 and Project 2025. That's what this was all about. It was a test of faith of his mega supporters. And it proved it to him. So when he says bloodshed, he's not just making up bullshit. He's telling you what's going to happen. With that said, let's get Paula Alexander in. We are going to bring her in. We're going to get this show on the road and get everything started. So let's get it going.
So good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Stretches all down my back to keep me right on. Hey,
hey, what's up, Miss Paula?
Hey, 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 hey. Me, I'm up. I'm up. I'm here. Happy
well, that's
St.
A good
Patty's
thing.
Day.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Day. I'm part Irish, too. Did you know that they dyed in Chicago, the river that flows through Chicago, they dyed it bright green?
Oh, God. That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping.
That's what's green in the
Edison. Huh? I'm hoping that it was like natural dyes. So that, you know, it doesn't pollute the ocean, and as the river flows to the ocean, let's hope it was all natural.
Yeah, we don't want to see a bunch of green fishes running around.
Well, one of my friends shared a picture of it, and then I found a, you know how they share those shorts on Facebook?
Yeah.
And you can watch the shorts. They showed this gal in her hotel room way up on, I don't know, the 10th floor, looking down on the river as it flowed. Honest to God, I thought, first of all, I thought it was a joke.
Right.
And then I saw the short, the video, and went, oh, my God, this is real.
That's funny. Oh, my God. I'll have
they
to take a look at
the
it.
River they dyed the river in Chicago green, bright Irish green.
Oh, my God.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
Interesting.
So anyway, I want to say something about my illness, because I think it's important that I bring it to another level. For all those who do not know, and you don't know, I have colon disease, and I'm going to have major surgery with two different kinds of surgeons in the operating room at the same time, plus the anesthesiologist, okay? I need both a portion of my colon removed and reattached. And I need my uterus removed because the colon is sitting on top of my uterus. I've never had it removed. I mean, I was kind of surprised when the surgeon asked me if I had all my lady parts, and I said yes, because a lot of women my age have do no longer have their lady parts, but I do. But apparently, this is a problem with my colon disease. They're connected. So I'm going to have two different kinds of surgeons in the operating room at the same time, colorectal surgeon and a gynecological surgeon in the operating room at the same time. The reason I'm talking about this, and I'm going to go political now, okay, is because I'm 70. I live on Social Security. That is my income. That is how I pay my rent, my utility bills, my food, my household products, anything extra I need, okay? So the why I bring this up is because of the fact that the Republicans are still trying to gut Social Security and Medicare. Now, supposedly, as far as I know, Medicare is going to pay for my surgery. And with two surgeons and an anesthesiologist and all the aftercare, I'm probably going to have to be put in a rehab facility afterwards for a few weeks. I need Medicare to help me and Medicaid to pay for this because I can't do it myself. It's probably going to be anywhere from, I don't know, I'm guessing, $100,000 to $300,000 for the bill. And I can't pay for that myself. Now, I've worked for 45 freaking years of my life. I paid into Social Security and Medicare. That money is my right to withdraw now and pay for my surgery. And the Republicans are still trying to gut it. They're still trying to gut Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah.
So in other words, Medicaid is part of this too. Medicaid is a state of service. It's statewide. So in other words, if the Republicans do what they want to do and take part of my Social Security and my Medicare and my Medicaid away from me, I will be in dire circumstances if I have to.
Oh, God.
They are cruel. They are cruel. They are cruel. Cruel. They are cold-blooded, cold-hearted, black-hearted. They don't give a shit about senior citizens. They don't care.
No, they don't. And they've proven that over the years.
Yeah. And that's why I'm bringing this up. That's why I'm bringing up my surgery, is because without my Medicare and my Medicaid to help me out, if they told me no, you can't have the surgery, I will die. Okay? So, if you have a parent, a grandparent, or a great-grandparent on Social Security, on Medicare, on Medicaid, vote blue. Vote Democratic like their life depends on it, because it does. So, okay, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's going to happen. They're going to take it all away. It's coming.
So that,
if he is elected.
And I'm scared shitless. I haven't had surgery since I was 6 years old, and I had my tonsils out. That was 64 years ago. I'm scared shitless. I mean,
I don't blame.
I
hate surgery.
I mean, can you imagine? I have had two surgeons coordinated in the operation.
Well, yeah.
To do two different kinds of surgeries going, okay, let me do this and you do that. You do that, I'll do this.
But
I'm scared. I don't like surgery because I don't like
being put out, because that's my whole thing is when they put you out, I'm always thinking, am I going to wake back up? That's my prayer.
Right.
Because when you get older, I mean, when you're older, you know, you think about that shit because, you know, the older you get, the more susceptible you are to, you know, any kind of possible side effects happening.
Right.
I don't like surgery. I'm with you on that. I don't like surgery.
Yeah, because it scares the crap out of me. All I can pray for, and not only that, not only do I have to have this surgery, but I have to have it done in a hospital that's 50 miles away from me. And so, you know, my friend has told me her and her husband will take me there, but she can't be there for me every day. My kids won't be there for me because they all live out of state. And it's in it. You know, you want someone to be there for you. You want someone to care about you enough to be there. And my friend can't be there for me every day. So, speaking of that friend, let me change the subject. Talk about her. Because you have your friends, too, who do not believe the stuff about Trump. So
no.
She's one of those. She's one of those. She is, I'm a Republican. I'm going to vote Republican no matter what. And, you know, when she took me to the hospital for the procedure, 2 weeks ago, we talked about it on the way back to my apartment. And she's a loud talker and moves her hands a lot, and she's very animated, you know what I mean, with her voice and her hands and everything. And she basically told me I was full of shit without telling me I was full of shit for telling her that he is a rapist and that he tried to overthrow the government. And she, you know, she was driving with her left hand and threw her right hand up in the air toward me and like to dismiss me. Like, that's not true. That's all a bunch of crap, you know.
Fake news is telling you that.
right. Well, she didn't say that. And I'm like, he's a rapist. Do you approve of rapists being your president?
Right.
Well, that's not true. That's just stuff they came up with.
And by the way, he was found guilty by a jury of his peers, not by judges, but by the people, individuals, who were Republicans and Democrats.
Right. So, but she won't listen. She is one of those, you know, it amazes me because she's so kind and good-hearted. She's the same one that took me out that brings me Christmas gifts, and because I don't have anybody else, and she took me out for New Year's Eve, and she's so good and kind-hearted, and yet at the same time, is so shallow and has no fucking clue what he's really about.
Yeah. I'll let you, Donald Trump, preys upon the weak-minded.
Right. Well, you know, remember in 2016 when he said, I love the poorly educated.
Yeah. It's exactly
what
it is.
I love the poorly educated. Now, you don't have to be poorly educated. You just have to be intelligent and intuitive enough to see through the bullshit. And these people are so brainwashed they can't see through the bullshit.
No.
I'll be fucking dies before the election. I want him to fucking die. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I'm a spiritualist. I believe in God. I believe you're not supposed to wish on anything bad for anybody. But this man is evil.
I hope he chokes on a fucking Big Mac.
Oh, absolutely. Or I saw one meme, which was funny. I have it on my phone somewhere. It says, you know, hey, how he flies to all these rallies around the country.
Yeah.
It says, I hope he slips on a banana peel on the way out of his plane.
One could only hope.
I don't think God is going to hurt me or blame me.
I knew he was in Dayton because the sky turned black as hell.
Oh, really?
When he came to Cincinnati. Oh, yeah, they were black as hell, and it rained. And,
really?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, it was miserable the day he showed up. I was like, oh, my God, Donald Trump is here. And then, you know, then he's out there and all these people show up there and they're like, oh, Donald Trump, oh. And they're passing, you know, Paula, by the way, they were passing out flyers, the flyers or brochures of the, and it had the Donald Trump is the true Christ of God.
Oh. Are you kidding me?
Is what these pamphlets say. No.
Are you kidding me?
I mean.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah. Can you imagine? What the hell is going on? I mean, it's almost like he's the Antichrist. I don't know, man, but there's something off about this whole situation.
There is, you know, why, you know, I believe in God. You believe in God. Why is he allowing this to happen? I know we're not supposed to question God, but I just did.
This is the ultimate test, you know. It's the ultimate, you know, maybe he is. Maybe Donald Trump is the, I mean, I'm not sure trying to be stupid, but maybe he is, you know. I mean, he wants his own, you know, control of government. He wants his own control of power, and he wants his own control of religion, and he wants everybody to follow, you know, his religious ways, or he wants them to follow a certain religion, and that's what the Antichrist will do, is not peaceful.
Well, he's not religious. Let's
well, no,
get this straight.
But he's promoting it.
True.
He's a sheep in wolf's clothes. That's what it is. Or wolf in sheep's clothes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Evil man.
Did you see the memes of him praying in a church that he's putting around out on the social media? And it's AI generated. It's an AI generated picture of his ass.
Of course it is, because he doesn't go to church. But you know who does go to church?
Yeah, President Biden.
President Biden goes to church, carries a rosary, his son's rosary, in his suit pockets, in his pockets. He goes to church. You know, he's a busy man. But he goes to church every chance again. He is a Catholic. which is a part of the Christian religion. I don't care if you're Catholic or Protestant. I don't give a shit. I don't care. As long as you worship, as long as you worship, I'm surprised there's not a not a church in the White House. That kind of surprises.
Well, you know, when Donald Trump was in, when he was in office, he did have some girl. I do not remember her name. She was a televangelist.
Paula White.
And she,
Paula White.
Yeah.
My name.
She was
Paula White.
Praying all over him and saying that he was the true true descendant of God, sent him here, and all kinds of shit. It was like that spooky shit right there.
And she's speaking in tongues. She was speaking in tongues. Whatever.
Yeah.
Did I do it justice?
Yeah.
I remember when my aunt and uncle were alive. My dad's sister and her husband, when they were alive, they decided to try out a new church. And they go to this church, and all of a sudden everybody in the congregation starts speaking in tongues.
Oh wow!
And she said they got up and walked out.
And they're like, no, thank you.
This is gibberish. This is stupid. So this is what, yeah.
They're supposed to have somebody that interpret when there is somebody speaking in tongues. But these churches that are fake and doing it, they never have somebody that they don't have the interpreter, and they're supposed to have an interpreter. That's what's in the Bible, not, oh, I'm just going to jump out and start speaking like a baby and go like, you know, it's just, that's not what you do. That's a sideshow.
I didn't know there was supposed to be an interpreter. I did not know that.
Oh yeah, supposed to. Yeah, it's in the Bible. You know, talking about, you know, whenever you had somebody speaking in tongues, there should be an interpreter that interprets what the person speaking in tongues is saying. But
my aunt and uncle were totally freaked out. They were freaked out. They got up and left.
Oh, I don't blame them, man.
They did not feel comfortable in that environment. So you know, as an intuitive, if we don't feel comfortable in a situation, that means there's something wrong. So apparently, this was bad enough for my aunt and uncle to get up and leave the church because they did not feel comfortable. So her name was Paula White. I remember her name because her name was Paula.
Yeah, I'm glad you did remember. I mean she's a spooky woman, that woman. I mean, that lady is, you know, when you think of these corrupt televangelists, that's what I see right there. And
right,
you know, she's like Kenneth Copeland or something, you know.
Right. Right.
But anyway, getting back to the MAGA thing here, you know, it's funny that some people out here, I've noticed a lot of people are saying that they don't believe Donald Trump's going to be a dictator and doesn't want a dictator-style America. But I even had somebody said that when I was talking about the Project 2025 and all that, somebody said that it's not just somebody, it's been multiple people saying it's not real, it's a fake conspiracy. But it's not a conspiracy, it's realistic.
Yeah.
There's nothing conspiracy about it.
There has been, the Heritage Foundation has been trying to get their heels in on American government for a very long time, ever since, like you said, Reagan. Ever since Reagan, okay?
Yeah.
They've been trying to they've been trying, the Heritage Foundation is trying to control American government. And their Project 2025 is a part of the part of this.
Mm-hmm.
The Heritage Foundation was started by the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H. Okay.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, and I know at least one. I know at least one of them is dead. I don't know if they're both dead now or not. Brother isn't dead yet. He is very old. Okay, but there are followers. They're supporters are promoting
uh-huh.
their agenda. They are promoting their agenda to make America controlled under the how do I want to put this? They want to control America, how we think, what we do, how we feel, our lives. They are trying to control us, all Americans, billions of Americans. These people are trying to control us. Now,
you're talking
now,
about
my
this corporation, this
yes.
these corporate guys. Okay.
I'm talking about the Koch brothers. Cook, actually, it's pronounced Cook, but it's spelled K-O-C-H. Koch brothers.
Koch sounds better for them.
So, I know, right? So they started the Heritage Foundation. There are other organizations under the Heritage Foundation. I would have to look it up. I saw it one time a couple of years ago, and I don't know where it is. I need to look it up, what foundations are controlled by the Heritage Foundation or the Koch brothers. They are trying to make it so it's that we have that America, even though our forefathers and our Constitution told us we have the ability to be free and make our own laws, they are trying to make the laws for us. They are trying to tell us whether you can have an abortion, whether it's against the law to be gay or trans. They are trying to tell us how we can live our lives. You know who else does that?
Who?
Russia. Russia.
No, that's true.
North Korea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
China. Okay. So,
yeah.
So let me get into that a little bit. Okay, so I've noticed, and everybody's noticed, and I go and read up on Ron Philipowski. His name is so hard to say. Philipowski's timeline on X. Okay, he's an ex-Republican that saw through the Republican agenda and what they want for America and switched his party to Democrat. Okay? These people are trying to change America into something it's not. They want... Okay, so if the Heritage Foundation and the Koch brothers and all their other, you know, other organizations are trying to change America into their religion, how do you account?
Right.
How do you account for all the other people, all the immigrants that came from other countries with their own religions, like the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Sikhs, the how do you tell people that they can't worship in their own religion? How do you tell people that? You know,
that's good,
this
point.
Is my thing. This is the thing. We all worship God, all of us. We all worship the same God. The Jews, even the Jews. Okay, that's another religion. How do you tell Buddhists, Muslims, Sikhs, Jews, that they can't worship in their own religion, and you have to make them worship the religion that you made up? How do you do that?
Well, yeah. That doesn't make sense. America's always been about freedom of religion, you know, freedom of speech, you know,
exactly.
And that's what our country's been based upon. And it sounds
right.
Like that's what they're trying to do is eliminate the Constitution. That's what they're doing.
Right.
That won't exist, you know. But that's what I, you know, and this whole thing stems, I truly believe it stems from Vladimir Putin wanting to get his you know, get
yes.
his hooks into
closet.
The United States in control, and yeah,
yep.
and
yep. Well,
and that's what
you know,
it is.
That's what I want. That's I wanted to talk about that. I have noticed, and Ron Filipowski has said this, is that there's all these foreign fake accounts on social media right now because we have an election in November. Okay. And the only reason that Vladimir Putin wants us is hiring these people is because he wants to overtake Ukraine.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose.
That's his whole purpose. He wants to get his claws into Ukraine. He wants to make Donald Trump the dictator so that because Donald Trump has said he'll give Ukraine to, he'll stop support for U.S., he'll stop U.S. support for Ukraine. Okay, so Why would that happen? It's because
yeah.
he wants, and not only would he take over Ukraine, but then, and we talked about this a million times. Well, not a million, but you know what I mean. If he takes over Ukraine and is able to invade and go into Ukraine, then he's going to go into Poland, which is next door to Ukraine, which is our NATO ally.
Yeah.
If he were to go into Poland,
that'd be big.
We would have to send. It would start World War III. We would have to send our soldiers into Poland. Because they are our NATO ally. We would go into World War III. And it would put our children, America's children, in the military, on the ground, in Poland, fighting Russia.
Well, and look at how Donald Trump and the Republicans are priming people, especially their followers, into believing that Vladimir Putin, you know, that he's a good guy and that, you know, we need to really give him leniency. Because think about it. Here Donald Trump is out at his rally saying, you know, hey, if NATO countries don't want to pay for belonging to NATO, well, we'll just let – you know, Vladimir Putin do whatever they want with them. And, you know,
right.
That's one thing. And then you have Tucker Carlson, you know, who's over there promoting that Russia's a great country and that you can just go shopping and do-do-do-do-do and having fun and, you know, it's a beautiful country. And so he's promoting how great it is, even though that they have the one guy, what's his name? They murdered him in jail, you know.
Alexander Navalny.
Yes, they murdered him in jail. I mean, and then you have the Republicans here at home in the House of Representatives saying, let's not support Ukraine because, you know, we don't want to give them money. And they're trying to promote that by saying, hey, let's let Vladimir Putin go on into Ukraine and do what he wants. Because they're saying, why are we supporting this when it's going to happen anyway? So why are we giving them money now when eventually he's going to take over Ukraine? So why are we helping them? And that's what they're trying to promote. In other words, they're promoting that let's let Vladimir Putin do whatever the hell he wants. So they're weakening themselves to him.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Ukraine has applied for NATO's membership. The president of NATO has said that until this war is over, Ukraine cannot be a member of NATO. But they are a member without the official sanction being a part of NATO. So in other words, we've approved NATO members, NATO countries have approved of Ukraine as being a NATO country, but they cannot make it official until Russia is out of Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have callers. Okay, well, I'm in the bathroom, so.
That's a great place for you, Paula, you know. Are you telling me you're trying to take a shit? Are you going to take a shit on a MAGA guy or what?
I just had to tinkle. So do you want to take a call?
Come on. Sure. Why not?
Right.
Why not?
Okay.
I see how you're seeing how you're feeling there, you know, and.
I'm feeling feisty.
I bet you are. Hey, she's always feeling feisty, baby.
Let me feel feisty until surgery, and then I won't feel so feisty anymore. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Let's go. Let's do it.
All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take some calls here, guys. So if you want to call in, you're more than welcome to. The phone number is 563-999-3652 and hit option number 1. All right, let's go to area code 314. Go ahead.
You know, you had black preachers that had prayer vigils with Donald Trump, too.
Did you get that, Paul?
It's you again. Yeah, it's you again.
Is this the... Oh.
It's the same guy.
It's the one guy.
It's the black guy that loves a racist.
I'm not a racist. I'm a United States citizen. No, I'm a United States citizen, but it's true.
No.
He has black.
No. Okay, so let me ask you a question, dude. I'm going to ask you a question. In the 1980s,
I think we actually had a button there.
Okay. In the 1980s, there were isn't that sad?
I lost him. Oh, shit. I hit the wrong button there. I'm sorry, dude.
So for black people listening that think Trump isn't a racist, let me bring up two stories about Trump. Okay? One is, I forget what year it was, They arrested, what was it, the Central Park 4 or Central Park 5 for raping a woman in Central Park. Okay? Trump called for these young black men to be given the death penalty. Guess what, people? Guess what, people? Turns out they were innocent, and it was one white guy that was arrested for raping this woman. Yet he called for their death, even though they were innocent. Okay, the other thing is, after the civil rights movement in the 70s, Trump owns all these condos. He went to the manager of his condo and said, okay, mm-hmm. I don't want any black people living in my condos. If they come to inquire about living in the building, tell them that all the condos are full, even though they weren't. He got sued for that by the state of New York. Don't tell me that Trump isn't a racist, because he fucking is. His father and his grandfather was arrested for being in a KKK parade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's how he was raised. You know, I was raised, this is the thing. My parents were two total opposite people, 18 years apart in age. My mother was a racist. I was taught to be a racist. I learned how not to be a racist. I had to teach myself how not to be a racist. Even my mother, in the throes of her dementia, in front of me, called black people the N-word. It sickened me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even with dementia, I had called her, like, a delivery person, like bringing Meals on Wheels or delivering a package. Well, that in person, blah, 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 blah. And I said, Mom, you don't call them that word. It's racist. It's bad. It's a bad word. You cannot use that word. She used to tell me a story about when she was a kid. And she lived out in a town where I live now, on a gravel dirt road. And that there, when she was a teenager, their pug dog, black people would be walking down the road in front of their house, and their pug dog would try to bark and go attack the black people walking down the road. And it took a lot of heart and a lot of introspective to realize that my mother was a racist. Don't tell me that I don't recognize racism when I see it. Trump was a racist.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He made sure that black people didn't rent in his condos until the state of New York, the whole state of New York, the federal government in New York sued him for being a racist. But when a black man calls us and tells us that Trump isn't racist, you don't know your fucking story. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, exactly. I don't understand why this guy supports Donald Trump so much as a black man. I just don't understand that. I just don't understand that. I mean,
I don't either. I don't get it. I don't get it, Jerry. I don't get it. How can any black man, any black person support Trump? I don't get it. Okay, any more phone calls?
Yeah, we got another one here. We're gonna let's see here. We got let's see here. Oh, hang on, guys. We're getting to them. I think this might be area code 434. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? It's Khalil.
Hey,
hi, Khalil.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm not doing so good, but that's beside the point.
I hope everything goes well with you.
Thank you. I need surgery. But anyway, that's beside the point.
I'm going to do a job tomorrow, which is getting trees out of the ground at my friend's house, and he's going to pay me for that.
Oh, good.
Okay.
And basically,
hang on a minute.
He,
I need to turn the volume down on my phone, on my headset, because it is
okay.
Blurry. Hang on a second. Hang on. I'm going to take it off for a second. Hang on.
Hang on. She's trying to get that fixed real quick there.
Okay, let's see if that makes it better.
All right, buddy. Go ahead.
Found out that my friend is doing some moving, and my friend might be doing some moving, and he might need some help, so I might help him with that too. And matter of fact, Paula and Jerry, have you heard of the Blue Knights? It's a biker.
Blue Knights?
Yep.
I believe I have. It's been a while, but I think I have.
Yeah, you got the Fire Iron, and then you got the Blue Knights, and they're a first responder bikers.
Okay.
Yeah, because you said that you were with Baca, right?
Yeah, I was a biker chick. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really respect Bikers Against Child Abuse. I really like that group.
Oh yeah.
So you're helping one of them move? Are you in a wheelchair?
No, I'm helping. I'm not in a wheelchair, but I was helping someone else move, and I'm helping another person. But I was just saying about Blue Knights and Red and Fire Iron. It's not them I'm helping, but I met one of them, one of the Fire Iron groups.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I belong to a biker group to help children, abused children.
Yeah, I've been trying to meet them.
Bikers Against Child Abuse. Baca.
Yeah, see, Virginia has a few of them, and I've been trying to meet them a few times.
Okay.
And some of them are different. Some of them are counselors, too, I found out.
Yeah, they are. And they're good people. They are people, some of them are victims of child abuse, the men.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about big, tough-looking biker men with leather jackets, and they are with Baca because they were abused as children, and they want to help other children. It's a really, 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 really good organization.
And it's really good because basically so many people just repeat the cycle of abuse when they've been abused.
Right.
And
right.
I was involved
when I was with Baca. I was involved with a huge ride, a very huge, what do I want to call it? Ride to, there was a major national, it was a national news story about children being abused by a guy that owned a leather company. He made boots. He sold boots, he sold leather merchandise for the biker community. Yet he was involved in abusing teenage girls. And I got to meet a couple of those girls in that national, right, it was terrible. It was terrible. We rode through the streets of cities in Arkansas for these girls that were involved in this national abuse by this guy. It was national. I can't remember his name. I wish I could. It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet these girls, and they, you know what was weird when I met them? They acted tough like nothing happened to them. When you know something happened to them, it was sad because they're so hardened. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were being abused by this guy that they could not get past the fact. I hope they're okay.
I hope so.
They're okay.
This was
a national. This was a national dam, a national, this guy, he was totally abusive toward children, toward teenagers in his organization. Yet I got to ride for them, and I'm proud of that, that I got to support them, let them know they were loved and supported.
Yeah, that was really good.
He went to prison. He went to prison.
Oh, did he?
Oh, absolutely.
Where was that at?
Here in Arkansas. Can you look it up? I can't look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the guy that, I remember now.
If you find his name, let me know, and I'll tell you if you're right.
Stop it, Simba.
Huh?
Do what?
I was talking to my cat.
Oh.
You got a pussy cat? What's your pussy cat's name?
Simba.
Simba. Aww.
Did you hear about, heard about, some of the, stuff about, like, the stereotypes? about abuse and police officers when they're off duty. You know the stereotypes people who are troublemakers try to use against officers?
Say that again.
Like, you know how you got fathers on YouTube that look for trouble with law enforcement, and then they say things like, don't beat your wife, or they'll accuse them of beating their wife or beating their kids and stuff like that. And I said, that's nothing to make a joke out of. But then again,
Paula, that guy's name wasn't Lazarus, was it? Was his name Lazarus? Paula?
Do what?
Was the guy's name Lazarus?
Trying to think. What was his first name?
That's his first name. Where was this at in Arkansas?
And
what did
while,
he do?
Jerry.
He abused how many women?
He abused teenagers.
Did he have like a combine or whatever?
Kinda, yeah.
Kinda like that Waco, Texas guy.
Yeah. What name are you coming up with?
Well, the one I'm looking up his name, but the one that came up was Lazarus, but that's not it. So I'm thinking, I remember David Claire.
Yeah, that's not him.
Can I ask you something, Jerry?
Yeah.
I heard back in the 70s and 60s, you had more like, I was told that you had more like community policing as far as like police officers at parks and stuff and police officers doing things like walking the beat in neighborhoods. And I was told that I was told that they had more police officers at like softball games and things like that back in the 60s and 70s when there was games around like little league and softball games back in the 60s and 70s than now.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. I think I found it.
Is that his name Joshua? Joshua?
I may have found it.
Joshua.
It was the Lord's Ranch. The Lord's Ranch. Okay. Well, that's not it. Because he abused boys.
The guy I pulled up was what was the guy's name you pulled up?
Hang on.
Because you might have something different than what I have.
Okay. That's not right.
And hang on, Khalil. I'll answer that in just a second.
Okay.
I rode on that ride to those girls.
This guy that I have says a 41-year-old man accused of rape with evidence pointing to multiple juvenile victims and multiple occasions of sexual abuse, pleaded guilty last week, was sentenced to 40 years in prison. This guy's name was Joshua Mumala, M-U-M-A-U, of Benton County. This guy abused like several different girls.
I'm looking on Google too, and I'm finding so many sexual abusers in Arkansas that I can't even get to this asshole.
Yeah, I know, man. You guys got a lot of them down there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's a blue light rapist.
Oh my God. I'm finding an article that says we are the second most sex offenders per capita in America. That sucks.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
So, anyway, I don't remember this guy's name.
Well, if you find it, Khalil, go back to what you were saying. You said you mentioned something about police officers back in the 1970s or whatever. So go ahead and say that again,
said,
what you said, brother.
Go ahead and ask your question again. Do you know if they had more police officers patrolling Little League games and softball games as far as like community policing than they do now?
Not,
because
to be honest with you, back then, you didn't see it as much. I mean, you might have maybe one or two police officers that would watch a game, you know, be there to kind of keep order in case, like, the kids wanted to fight with each other, juveniles, you know how juveniles are. But in today's world, there's, like, multiple police that they even have them, like, people being searched and shit when they go into games. Like, they have metal detectors and all kinds of shit. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's gotten worse. I think as far as, well, I mean, it's gotten better for security-wise, but it means that in a nutshell, that crime within these juvenile games have risen. But did you know, Khalil, that a lot of these times it's not the juveniles that are the problem, it's their parents, because they want to fight and argue with the referees, and they go after them.
Yeah, I've noticed some of that, too. I found out that I looked up this thing about child labor, because the Republicans want that. I mean, the right-wing Republicans want child labor back.
Oh, yeah.
And I found out that there was a train that arrived in New York City, and a lot of the kids were beaten and stuff like that by law enforcement, and they were arrested, and they were just coming from the sweatshops and stuff like that in the factories and warehouses.
Oh yeah.
I'm still trying to find this guy. It's been so long ago. Been about 10 years ago. So it's really, really hard to find him, because apparently we have so many fucking child sex abusers in Arkansas that it's not funny.
That's crazy. You guys got a lot of them there, dude.
Yeah. Do. So, you know, but this guy owned a big, like, internet leather company selling boots, selling, you know, leather vests that
– Did he make them work for him?
I'm not sure.
Just wondered if he made them slaves.
I'm kind of thinking he did.
Was his name Ted Cruz?
I mean, these girls, when I met them, they were so tough. They were tough. They were so unempathetic, so he brainwashed them.
Damn.
And you know, I met them. They had been brainwashed for years. When I met them, they were about 17, 18 years old. And I remember they cocked their, you know how when you put your hands on your hip and you cock your hips and you act like it's nothing? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah.
That's how these girls were. They were tough. They've been through hell and back. And yet and these people were members of the Republican Party. The guy that abused them was probably, you know, the thing that I get from Arkansans here where I live is that they are supporters of the Republican Party because of John D. Rockefeller, who was the governor back in the, 70s, 80s, whatever. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And John D. Rockefeller no longer, he was a Reagan Republican. And these people no longer, like my governor now, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, slanders, pretends, and her daddy, pretends they belong to the Rockefeller, the conservative, the original Reagan conservative party, and they no longer belong to it because it's not the same anymore.
Well, no.
Because Trump changed it. Trump changed it. I mean, last year, Sarah's dad announced do you know that Sarah's dad has a show on a religious network? On a religious network. Yeah. And last year, he announced on that network that if you do not vote for Trump, we need civil war.
Oh, geez. Well, that's what this whole thing's promoting. It's war.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, when Joe Biden wins, and I know he's going to win, but when he wins, World War III is going to break out, like, really bad. Donald Trump is going to, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing people in the street type stuff.
Right. Right. That's what I'm seeing, too. Hopefully, Biden is smart enough, and I know he's smart enough, to put the call it the Army Reserve onto the streets. You know, and you know what bothers me, Jerry, is that the Speaker of the House right now, Mike Johnson, his name is Mike Johnson, he has kissed the ring of Trump. So unlike Mike Pence, Trump's vice president, I'm wondering if when it goes to certification of the president. Now, let me give you a preface of Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson does not believe in women's rights. He does not believe in abortion. He has stopped any progression of any border bill because Trump told him not to do it. And it worries me. It worries me that when it comes to what has always been normal, that the president-elect is certified in Congress, that Mike Johnson is not going to do it.
That's true. What would happen if that happens?
I can't even fathom. I don't have a freaking clue what will happen. Because if the Speaker of the House does not certify the election of the president that the people of the United States voted for, what will happen?
It would seem like there would have to be something that could be done.
Me either. It's going to start a civil war. And that's why I hope the son of a bitch dies before the election.
Well, yeah. That's the whole purpose of the whole thing.
I hope he has one Big Mac too many or slips on a banana peel. Because
eat that Big Mac, bitch.
So you know, they're saying that Biden is too old. You know, Trump is too old too. So you know what happens? You know what happens if something were to happen to Biden?
Kamala Harris would take over, wouldn't she?
Thank you. And she follows his, she'll do whatever he can. And we would have the first, get this, if that were to happen, we would have the first female president in the United States of America.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Hello? What are you doing? What
are you doing? That was Kal-El.
Okay.
Kal-El,
I mean,
you're playing music.
So
yeah,
maybe,
that was my mistake.
I mean, maybe God is leading the way. Maybe we're supposed to have the first female president of the United States. If anything
happens
to
You would think that that's what it would be.
I mean, that woman, she's... Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No. So this woman has been the... what's the word I'm looking for? She's been the... She was the top lawyer in the state of California. She's got so many She's a leader. She's intelligent.
She's
doing. Yeah. So, it's like she may not lead as much as President Biden, but she would next best. So, I look at it this way. This may be God's way of saying, of giving the first female as President of the United States, if anything were to happen to Biden.
Hey, Paula, what happened to Lindsey Graham?
Oh, he's a pussy.
Did he go and did he pass out? Did he suck a dick and died or what? Did Donald Trump finally give?
he's one of those people that will go anywhere where he can get some head.
Yeah. I think he was doing what he did because he was running for election. That's all it is. Now he's done.
Right. So,
he's like, I can be quiet for a little while. If you want me, you'll see me over at Santos's house.
<That's fine.
laughs> All right, Paula, we are at the end of the show. You want to end up the show and we'll call it quits for the night.
Okay. Thank everyone for listening. We appreciate you. Think you're fine. No matter whose side you're on, not really. We're not going to elect an insurrectionist rapist as our president. Not going to elect a guy that has to be a dictator. Not going to approve him. But thank you for listening. Anyway, we appreciate you. Come back and time. Assalamu alaikum. Good night, everybody.
Excellently said. All right, everybody. Have a good night. Take care. We'll see you next Sunday. I am getting off here myself. I have to get up in the morning. I've got 3 hours. I have to get some rest and then get up to go to work. So have a good night, everybody. Take care. God bless. Remember, vote blue. Vote for blue. Vote Democratic all the way. All right, we're going to leave you with this song. Here's Tenacious D, Jack Black, from his movie Kung Fu Panda 4, the old Britney Spears song. Ooh, baby.
Oh, baby, how was I supposed to know that something was